It seems that some of the best stories and the most laughter we have is stories about children, just like Dave this morning and superhero, right? And like my sermon on Easter, where the kids shouted out April Fools. I thought that was great. Anyway, so as many Sunday school teachers are often want to do, there was a Sunday school teacher by the name of Miss Johnson, who brought together all of her students so that she could prepare them to memorize the 23rd Psalm, a psalm that we all love. And so she approached the pastor wanting to have the students then present their memory work to the congregation on a Sunday morning a month from that particular day that she spoke to him. So there was this little boy named Bobby who was just really, really excited about memorization and being able to say his part in front of the whole congregation. And he wanted to invite his grandma and his aunt and uncle, he wanted them to come and watch him to do it. Unfortunately, Bobby froze when it came to memorizing just about anything. I mean, he tried. And his parents would try to help him out, but he just couldn't remember the psalm. And after a month of practice, he couldn't remember anything more than "The Lord is my shepherd." Well, of course, you can now know the fateful Sunday arrives, and the small little class files in single file across the front, and all of them are smiling except Bobby. You could see he was petrified. It came across on his face. And of course, he also was the first one in line, so he was going to get to be the first one to recite before the church, which all made him so nervous his mind goes blank. And the teacher crouches down in front of him with the microphone and holds it to his face. And then all of a sudden, Bobby smiled and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know." Well, you know, in a way, Bobby is right. The Lord is our shepherd. And once we understand that relationship to God, to Jesus, we have a good foundation for our faith. In the gospel just read, Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. And of course, the group that was listening to him at that time, everyone would have understood that imagery. It's not necessarily an imagery that we're familiar with today, but again, Jesus started with something that was familiar to his hearers, and then he moved on to apply a spiritual point to it. And it was important for him to have them understand that he was the good shepherd, because the problem in those days was that there were many bad shepherds. A bad shepherd, often referred to like in our reading, was a hireling, would be hired to watch the sheep. And so when a wild animal or a wolf or a lion, as in the case of David in the Old Testament, would come along kind of want to satisfy themselves with a mid-afternoon mutton snack, the hireling would just take off. And even though the hireling was hired to protect the sheep, that, for a bad shepherd, that didn't go so well when it came to a face-to-face confrontation with a wild beast. You could almost hear them saying as they're running away, "Feet, don't fail me now." How completely opposite that is from the image of the shepherd in the parable of the lost sheep. If you remember, as in a sort of an addendum to this, as recorded in Matthew, Jesus asks the question, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that's wandered off? And if he finds it, I truly tell you, he's happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that didn't wander off. That's how a good shepherd was portrayed. And how different that was, because, I mean, if you were a businessman, okay, so you lost one. That's the cost of doing business. But Jesus says the good shepherd's not even willing to lose one. You also may remember the story from 1 Samuel of David's trip to take his brother's food when Goliath was taunting the Jewish soldiers. And King Saul is shocked that when David offered to fight the giant. I mean, because David's only training up until then had been being a shepherd. What do you know about fighting giants? Saul asked. But in David's answer, we see again the spirit of a good shepherd. In fact, I invite you for a second to take out one of the pew Bibles that's in front of you and turn to 1 Samuel, which I believe is on my Bible may be a little bit different than yours, but I want 1 Samuel chapter 17. Anybody had the page for that? 445, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you look down at verse 34, I'm going to begin reading there, and I'd like you to follow along with me. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. And the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine." What a wonderful story of how the good shepherd protects his sheep. And the disciples were well aware of this role of the shepherd. In fact, they not only would have remembered the parable that Jesus told, this is probably one of those stories about David that they had been told from their childhood that had been passed down for hundreds of years. A good shepherd, they knew, was one who at all costs protects his sheep. And so when Jesus told them that he was a good shepherd, he added that he was the kind of good shepherd that would indeed lay down his life. That if he was attacked by a lion or a bear, that our good shepherd would not run, would not give up protection, even if it was a battle to the death. You see, Jesus said that he was the kind of shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep. Now, when Jesus told his disciples this truth, I don't think they really understood the prophetic nature of his comments. I mean, because at this time that Jesus tells this parable, they're marching toward Jerusalem, where he's going to do exactly that, where he is going to become the good shepherd who promised to lay down his life. He was going to do that on the cross. And there's no sign that any of them understood at that time. They had no idea that as they were approaching the Passover, that indeed Jesus was going to be the lamb who would be given for the forgiveness of sins. I don't believe they understood, but I think it was easy for them to grasp the promise that Jesus was the Good Shepherd. Now, not only does the shepherd protect his sheep, but he said, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Now, that certainly is a hard thought for us to process today. I mean, Jesus says he knows his sheep. I mean, and we ask, how is that possible? I mean, there are over a trillion people in the world, and God claims to know me, my thoughts, my hopes, my plans, my dreams, my pains, my sorrows. And instead of looking at this as a wonderful and hopeful thing, I think we all at one time or another felt insignificant. We don't see how our little bit of service or worship to our Lord or our prayers or our labors even amount to very much. And sometimes we don't even know whether God is aware of our struggles or our loneliness or our grief or our losses. There are times when we don't know. We just don't know. And yet Jesus told us in no uncertain terms that God knows us. The prophet Jeremiah says, the Lord tells us, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I know that verse is a favorite of many of you. Not only does God, the Good Shepherd, protect, but he knows us personally, and he has a plan for our lives. We are not insignificant to God. You matter. You belong to the flock. Remember when Jesus said, Matthew records it, are not two sparrows worth and sold for a penny? Yet not one of them, he says, will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You know, that says the Good Shepherd knows his sheep down to the numbers of hairs on your head. And some of us are making that job of counting much easier. But he knows you. He knows when you fail. He knows who you are. And part of the shepherd's evaluation of his flock was the practice of having each sheep pass under the rod. That was a practice that when at evening the sheep would come into the sheepfold through a very narrow gate, and one at a time. And the shepherd would hold his rod down close to the ground so that they would have to go underneath the rod. And so as they did, the shepherd was then able to look at them and examine them and to see whether they had sustained any kind of injuries or anything was wrong with them that during the day. That's the kind of imagery Ezekiel used when he said of God's people, I will make you pass under the staff and will bring you within the bond of the covenant. And so here we see how the Good Shepherd provides security and affection and food and empathy, tenacity, evaluation. In short, the shepherd provides safety and everything for the sheep. Now this timeless and tireless image is really a great one for us as a community of faith. And it serves to help us in two ways. One, it gives tremendous substance to what it means to be a Christian community. That is, as Jesus expressed, the great shepherd of the sheep. I mean, who is the risen Christ to you? He is the one who attends affectionately to our security. He is the one who feeds us, who has great empathy for us, who, like the good shepherd, going after the one while the 99 are safe. The good shepherd is tenacious in his efforts to protect us, to bring us into the fold of God's grace. He is the one who takes the measure of our hearts, who leads us toward the throne of grace. That's why the old hymns have phrases like, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, much we need your tender care. Or like we say with the psalmist, you know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us. We are his. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Secondly, the image provides us with some clues regarding what it means to be that church, to be the pastoral presence in our world. I mean, things like preschools and daycare centers and medical clinics and programs of calling and support, housing, education, financial assistance, food pantries, outreach events to help the community. All of those and so much more represent the expression of the church's pastoral outreach. They're right in line with Christ's understanding of how God's people have first been shepherded by God in Christ. Because that experience of being shepherded enables us then to be a shepherd. Because a shepherdless flock is an endangered and a very vulnerable one. And you know, so we've all come this morning because we're part of the flock, and we want to be cared for in a pastoral way. And that word pastor comes from a Latin word meaning shepherd. And you're going to leave in a few minutes. And tomorrow, some of you will be going maybe into a classroom or into your offices, or some of you in shops. All of us are going to be in neighborhoods and homes. And in those places, you will not carry rods and staffs, but you will carry with you the rod of informed understanding, informed language, the language of a shepherd. And you will carry a staff of affection and caring. Because there are sheep out there needing your care. And you have skills that make you a modern day shepherd. The challenge is to take on that tireless and timeless image. And when you do, you will be surprised at how warmly, how welcomely, how gratefully you will be received. And your exertions will bring joy to the heart of God, who will always be your shepherd. You know, finally, on the flip side of this reading is the fact that the shepherd or the sheep knew the shepherd's voice. We've talked a lot this morning about our relationship with our Lord. We know that Christ laid down his life for us. And we know that a good shepherd would leave the flock to search for just one lamb. Sometimes we are lost sheep. Sometimes I think we wander away from the herd. And we struggle maybe even to hear his voice. But I think today is a day that we've wandered back toward the Good Shepherd, because we know he rejoices when his wandering sheep return. And what are the assurances that you have? Well, you have the promises of God, and we know that God always keeps his promises. And don't ever forget, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know. Let us pray. Gracious Father, Good Shepherd, continue to keep us close to you so that as we listen and hear your voice, we know the love that you have for us. Continue to assure us that we are looked after, that we are cared for, that you know even the number of hairs on our head, you care for us that much. Go with us this week. Give us hearts to reach out to those who are wandering without a shepherd so that they can experience that love and security that we have received. Bless us and go with us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us stand now to receive the blessing of the Lord.